Today we're going to do Parshat Shemini. We're going to talk ever so briefly. We're going to talk about what was the idea of the Yom HaShemini, the eighth day. I hope you all can hear me. What was the idea of the eighth day? And then we're going to spend most of our time, the time that we have left, focusing on how difficult of a day this was for Aharon, and that hidden in the program of the eighth day. We'll talk about what the eighth day was. It was an incredible challenge for Aharon, and as we'll soon see. It's not explicit in the Psukim, but it's completely implicit. And it appears in the Rashi, and it also appears in the Midrash. So the parasha begins, Vayhi b'yom hashmini. And it was on the eighth day. Kara Moshe l'Aharon u'levanav u'lezikne Yisrael. Moshe called Aharon and his sons and the elders of Israel. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, the eighth day of what? Of what is it the eighth day?
Well, what
just preceded? Oh, good. You have to read the psukim that came before that.
I did on
Shabbat. Oh, okay. So we're talking about, this is the conclusion of the consecration of the Mishkan. And last week in Sav, we read about the beginning of the consecration. There were a bunch of korbanot that Moshe Rabbeinu did with the Kohanim. Mad or upset? Just missing you? Mad? Okay. Bunch of korbanot that they did with the Kohanim. Okay. Let's go back to Chet Lamed Aleph, the very end. Chet Lamed Aleph. Oh, we'll do Lamed. We'll just go back to the very end. Vayikach Moshe Mishemen Tzirayim Chet Lamed. Chet Lamed. Everyone, good. Vayikach Moshe Mishemen HaMishcha Umin Adam Asher LaMizbeach. So Moshe took the Shemen HaMishcha, the oil of anointing and the blood. Vayaz al Aharon al Begadav va'al banav va'al bidei banav. And he took the oil and the blood and he sprinkled it on them. Vayikadesh et Aharon et Begadav v'et banav v'et bidei banav ito. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he sanctified them. In essence, he made kiddush on them, and he did it by sprinkling on the blood. And if you look back, you can see there was a much more involved process of korbanot they offered. And it was kind of like very similar to Mitzorah. It was on their right thumb and the earlobe, etc., etc., etc. Okay? Vayomer Moshe el Aharon v'el banav. Moshe says to Aharon and his sons, Bashlu et habasar petach ol moed. So that the meat from the korbanot, you should cook it in the entrance to the ol moed. V'sham tochlu oto v'et halechem asher b'sal hamiluim. And there you shall eat it. Kasher tziveti lemor Aharon uvanav yochluhu, as I commanded that they should eat this food. Va'anotar babasar ubalechem ba'esh tisrof, for whatever's left over you should burn, like all korbanot. Lamegimol umipetach ohel moed lo teitzu shivat yamim ad yom mlaot yemei milu'eichem. Ki shivat yamim yemalei et yedchem. And from the entrance of the ohel moed, you cannot leave for 7 days. Until the Meloot. Malay?
Fulfillment.
Completion of Yemei HaMiluim. The days of? Fulfillment. How do they translate it? Do you have that? Oh, nobody has one. Okay. Until the completion of the. These are called Shivat Yemei HaMiluim. Today's day and age, we have another term called Miluim.
It's not connected.
Not connected at all. I mean, what does Limalot mean? The malot is to complete. It's the completion, fulfillment.
Yeah.
Right, obligation. Kishivat yamim yemalei et yadchem. It's a very interesting term. Lemalot et yadchem. For 7 days you shall fill your hands. Upetach ol moed tishvu yomam balayla shivat yamim. You must stay in the entrance of the ol moed. You have to physically remain in the ol moed for 7 days, night and day. Ushmartem et mishmeret Hashem velo tamutu kichein tzuveiti. You have to stay there day and night, 7 days, for a week. And if you don't, if you leave the Ohel Moed,
you'll
die. And they did exactly that. Now you understand the next pasuk. Vayhi b'yom hashmini, after the 7 days are over. So there's this idea, it's a very fascinating idea. Like, if you think about what does the imagery say to you, this image of must remain inside the Ohel Moed for 7 days.
And that's the process of the consecration, the process of the miluim of Aaron and his sons to become Kohanim. What does that say to you? Anybody here into literature? Anyone?
It's like a marriage between God and the Kohanim, or God and the Jewish people, and the 7 days are like the Shavuot Brachot.
Interesting.
Reminds me before Bnei Yisrael got the Torah.
Why?
He had also separation.
That wasn't 7 days. It was separation, husband and wife. That was 3 days. No, seven is not a mystical number. Rachel broke my
seven head. Is the number of Tefach.
Right.
Eight is the mystical number.
Correct, which is exactly what we're going to get to today. Okay, which is fascinating. So that's exactly what we're going to start with.
Well, the cycle of seven and eight, right?
Seven is Tefach.
Right.
Seven is the essence of nature. Seven sevens, like the Shemitah. Seven sevens is Omer. Seven is Shabbat.
Seven, seven.
Right? That's not by coincidence. You think he didn't like that address for nothing? 100%. Right? The seven is the essential number of nature. Shemini, as we'll see, we're going to see it actually today, is the Al HaTeva, one above nature, as we'll see in a second. So what's interesting here is, Vayhi b'yom ha-shemini, kara Moshe la'aron u'levanav u'lezikne Yisrael. So now we're on the eighth day. The eighth day of what? After counting of seven.
Yeah.
There's an inherent problem in this count. There's an inherent problem. What's the problem? How many days was Aaron supposed to stay in the Olam Moed? How many days was he in the Mishkan?
Seven
days. What is the eighth day? What is the meaning of the eighth day? Don't worry about that. Leave it. I have to fix it. You're not the first person. Okay.
The day he comes out, he should start again. It should be the first day again.
It should be
the first day.
Mm.
Except I think it makes perfect sense to say.
Say the question before you say the answer.
What do you mean?
Explain the question.
Meaning, you're told to count 7 days for this process to be complete. So you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then you should start again with day one. Rather than counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Very good. Meaning the question is...
Like when we count the Shemitah years, after the seventh Shemitah year, we start with year one again of the cycle. Mm. Except that we have year eight of the Yovel cycle.
Whatever, but that's a 49-year cycle. That's not a...
Right.
Okay.
Unless the question is,
there is no eighth day. You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is this about Yom HaShemini on the eighth day? There is no eighth day. Why are we counting 8 days? 7 days. And once you're on 7 days, okay, goodbye. Vayhi b'yom, it should be the day after, or b'yom l'macharat, or b'yom yat se'et Aaron v'anav me. You know what I'm saying? Why is it referred to as the eighth day? So Rashi has trouble with this. If you look, I'll get your answer in a second. Rashi says, Shemini l'miluim. It's the eighth day of the miluim. Everybody understand, it doesn't really solve the problem. Right? Rashi's telling you the eighth day, it's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Rashi adds, fascinatingly, Hu Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shehukam haMishkan bo bayom. Okay, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan that the Mishkan was constructed on that day. So they counted back 7 days before, so that this day would be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Anybody know what else happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? According to the Midrash,
the sheep.
What?
They tied up the sheep.
Well, no, not Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Yeah, but there's two opinions on this. Anybody know? According to some opinions, the world was created on the first day of Nisan. And so we say the world was created. We don't mean the world was created. What do we mean? When does creation begin for us? No, mankind was created. So it's like, you always have to count back to get Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right. Rosh Hashanah is the other opinion. Right. There are two opinions in the Gemara about what day the world was created. Either Rosh Hashanah was there or Nisan. Oh, right, the first day of Nisan is the beginning of the year, but Nisan, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year for the year. Nisan is the first of the months. Okay? Okay, anyway, so it's interesting that it's Shemini. Rashi has a problem, so how do you solve the problem? What's your answer to this problem of the eight? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, like on a very shot level, it's a perfectly reasonable reference point. Meaning, I don't think that by saying Shemini they're necessarily counting the eighth day. They're giving you a reference in time. Like, I guess they could have said Lamacharat.
Yeah, or do I need to know what day it was? What does it matter? Vahi Lamacharat. Yeah, meaning it's referred to specifically as the eighth day.
Well, I think it shows that they completed the seven. It helps us to understand that the seven were done and over with, right? Vayehi Lamacharat could have been like the day after Moshe told them to do it, or the day, right? This is a very clear reference point in time, and now we know we're moving on.
Okay, so I'm not making this up. I'm not giving you a hard time. Just to give you a hard time, I'm leading to Kli Yakar. Do you guys have Kli Yakar in that blue one? You don't. I think you don't have Kli Yakar.
I think it's giving it a significance, mm-hmm. and it's connecting it somehow.
Of course.
I don't know how. That's the question. It's connecting
so Kli Yakar, if you have Kli Yakar, you can see in the bottom on Aleph. Kli Yakar and Aleph. I think you have it here, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have Kli Yakar either?
There's Kli Yakar.
Share amongst yourselves.
So what's the beginning?
Down the bottom here. Do you have Kli Yakar? On Aleph. You might have a different printing. Kli Yakar on Aleph. Go back. Yeah, down here. Okay. Zesh Yom Shemini Lemiluim. He says, this is the eighth day of the Miluim. Nir'am Zesh Agam Yom Huk Michlal Yimei HaMiluim. He says, it seems that this eighth day is also one of the Miluim days. Shekad Mulo. So if it's eight, if you say this is the eighth day, so it's even one of the days. He says, V'zeh you know. But it's not. How many days was Aaron instructed to stay? Seven. So why is there eight? Sharei HaKatuv Omer. Kishivat yamim yemalei et yadchem. Okay? So it says seven, but now it's eight. So what's going on, basically? Ve'af ha'pi sheyom ze milu'im l'chanukat ha'mizbeach. Yes, it is the eighth day from the sanctification of the Mizbeach. Mikol makom, ma inyan chinuch Aaron u'banav l'chanukat ha'mizbeach. What is the connection? So this is going to tell you the principle. Ve'ulai, maybe, v'fi shel ratza lomar, on this day, God appeared to them. Okay? If this is the day that God appears, they consecrate the Mizbeach, and then Aaron waits 7 days, and then on this day, God is going to appear. So why today, not the others? What's specific about this day from yesterday? Shaharei ze yom hashmini. Because this is what you're referring to, this idea. This is the eighth day. Davar ze garam lo kedusha biyeter se'eit. Eight has a greater holiness. Ki kol mispar sheva chol. The seven is the mundane. Umispar shmini kodesh. And the eighth day is the holy day. Kedat ha-midrash. Okay? As the midrash says. Ha'omer shekol kiluso mushal Moshe haya be'az. Moshe Rabbeinu, every time he wants to give praise, he uses the word az. Me'az bati ledaber b'shmecha. Moshe says to God, me'az bati. What's the most famous az?
Shir.
Az yashir Moshe. Az yashir Moshe. Ki az hayinu, what is az? Echad rochev al shiva. What is az? What's the gematria of az? Aleph.
Eight.
On top of seven. Aleph Zion. Okay, so Az always refers to Az Yashir Moshe. Who Hashlit et Hashem Itbarach al kol shiva kochvei lechet va kol ze hanimtzaim shenitavu b'shivat yimei Bereshit. If you think about also, when did Moshe say Az Yashir? When did Pesach begin at the night? Right? Really, Pesach began at the night in Makat Bechorot. How long was it from Makat Bechorot until Kriyat Yam Suf? It was 7 days. Because remember, it was at night, and they were in the middle of the night. And then as the light came in the morning, the Bnei Yisrael began to travel. They traveled through the Yam Suf. The Egyptians were destroyed. It was after a full 7 days, and into the eighth day. Az Yashir Moshe. Right? The revelation of God is one, more than seven.
But where does Oz appear in our text here?
Here it doesn't. It's Yom HaShmini. That's what he says. It would have been really cool if it had. Okay. V'alkei nira lehem Hashem b'yom zeh dafka. Why did God appear on this day? Ki mispar zeh miyuchad elav yitbarach. This is the divine number of God. And he says, that's why, by the way, right? You have to wait you can't bring a korban until the eighth day, or sometimes until the eighth day, and that's why, of course, Mila is on the eighth day. So here, in the Kli Yakar says, specifically saying it's the eighth day, it's not the eighth day, but it becomes the eighth day because eight is one more than seven. It's Az. All right, these are things that we are aware of sometimes, but it's always worth to mention.
What do you mean you can't bring a korban until the eighth day?
One second, so he says, an animal, you can't bring a korban from an animal until it's 8 days old.
Oh,
7 days until it's the eighth day. Yeah, because it's too young. Okay? Those are some prohibitions. An animal that's just born, you wouldn't bring as a korban. Okay, that's Az. That's number one. Let's go back to our first pasuk. Okay, Vayibi Yom HaShmini. Kara Moshe le'Aharon u'levanav u'lezikne Yisrael. Moshe called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. Let's just read a couple, one more pasuk in order to understand the problem of the first pasuk. We have to read on. Vayomer el Aharon, kach tcha egel ben bakar l'chatat v'ayel le'olat t'mimim v'akrev l'ifnei Hashem. Okay, and she says to Aaron, take an egel and a chatat and an ayel t'mimim and offer it as an offering to God. And to the Jewish people, he said, etc., 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 etc. Let's go back to the first pasuk.
Wait, when it says
Moshe
said
to Aaron. Let's read the pasuk again. Now, after reading the first few pasukim, you'll tell me what the problem is. On the eighth day, Kara Moshe le'Aharon ulevanav ulezikne Yisrael. What problem do we have now, or might you have, with the first pasuk? What seems unusual or interesting?
Why are the Ziknei Israel included?
Right. Very good. Why not? What's the problem?
Well, they weren't in the Mishkan, and they're not going to be bringing the Korbanot.
Correct. Right. What's the reference to Ziknei Israel? Why are they alluded to here? So Rashi goes on a campaign here that's going to tell us just how difficult of a day this was for Aaron. Rashi in the Midrash. And it's a little bit frightening in a sense, as we'll soon see. Why Ziknei Yisrael? So Rashi says something fascinating. See Rashi on Ziknei Yisrael? Lahashmi'am, so that they should hear, to make them hear. She'al pi dibur Aaron nichnas u'mishamesh b'kuhuna gedola. That it was by the divine command that Aaron becomes the Kohen Gadol. V'lo yomru me'elav nichnas, and that they shouldn't say, "Yeah, he came in on his own." You're okay with that? Really? Where does that come from? Anybody want to tell me? Where in the world does that come from?
He wasn't originally supposed to have the
Kohen. Until when? When was it switched?
Someone did something.
What?
The Egel.
At the Egel? Why did you say the Egel?
Because it was supposed to be the Bechor.
Okay.
It was the one who brought the Bechor of every tribe. Like the... Right? And then the Kohanim replaced the firstborn.
According to the Midrash, that's true. There was another... I wasn't thinking of that. There was another time where it was really supposed to be Moshe. Why is it Moshe the Kohen Gadol? You remember why? There's another Midrash. At the Sneh. Maybe he runs later. They're at the Sneh, they're at the burning bush, and God says, I want you to go save the Jewish people. Moshe says, no. He says, go, no, go, no, go, no. And finally he says, you'll go over Aaron achicha yeneviyecha. And at that point, God says, Moshe lost the kahuna. But I like your interpretation better. Why do I like your interpretation better? The Egel HaZahav is a theme that runs hidden beneath the surface of this entire story of Aaron. Because if you think about it, everyone who had anything to do with the Egel HaZahav is where? What?
Dead.
Is dead. 6 feet up. Except?
Ubanav.
Ma? What did you say? Ubanav. Well, they weren't there.
Shevet Levi
did. Shevet Levi. What did Shevet Levi do? Shevet Levi didn't participate in the Egel. What did they do?
That's why they got the kahuna.
They got the Leviyah. They didn't get the kahuna. See, that's what you're saying is, the Bechorim were supposed to be Misharet, but it's not clear that they were supposed to be the Kohanim.
Well, the reason it makes
they were supposed to be the Leviim
to me is because the Ziknei Yisrael are representatives of the entire Jewish people.
Okay.
And really, why do they care that Moshe is saying, our own, meaning Moshe would say, I'm supposed to be the Kohen, or Aaron's supposed to be the Kohen, but there's still like, there could potentially still be a nepotistic kind of relationship or a kind of, right, but when all of Zichnei Yisrael
are
there to accept it, it's...
There is a little bit of irony here, isn't there? Because according to Rashi, this whole thing was to make sure that nobody would come and question Aaron's role later. Except, of course, what happened? Korach came on, exactly, came later. What?
Pretty soon.
Well, was it Moshe's role that he was complaining about?
Yeah.
What did they, no. What did they?
Oh, but they wanted to bring the katar.
That's right, the frying pans. That matches the frying, what, you know what I'm saying? That matches the incense pans that happened here, the Nadav and Avihu. So it's fascinating that, yes, they accepted them, but it wasn't a universal acceptance until later on. Anyway, okay, why do you bring up the Egel is fascinating, because the Egel here plays a role. Is Aaron really the ideal person to be the Kohen Gadol? Would you have chosen him? Everyone else is dead. Oh, very good. Very good. Everyone else is dead, except the person who, apparently in the Pshat,
who made it.
How did that happen?
He should be the one that is, because he's the one that's doing the kapara for the Am.
Don't get me, but why don't they get kapara?
Also,
they're all dead.
On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we don't put up our biggest sinner to ask for kapara for us. We put up our, right, the Baal Tefillah on Yom Kippur is supposed to be like the most righteous person in the congregation.
Correct.
He goes to beseech God for mercy for the people, so...
This, I hate to tell you, this question doesn't have, to my mind, a great answer that you're going to say, oh, that's the reason. The reason is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give a kapara to Aaron. And it indicates, to some degree, it indicates that Aaron's culpability has to have been less than we imagined.
His intentions were good.
Right, in the Pshat, though, what was his role?
Well, the Midrash certainly plays down his role.
In the Pshat, what was his role? Yeah, and the pshat.
He takes all the gold and he throws it into the fire.
He does it personally.
And then the cow comes out and he says, "Here's your God, Jewish people."
Aaron with his hands.
Read the words.
Okay.
Yeah, Aaron with his hands.
He's the man. Yeah.
Now they said Elu Elohecha. I don't think he said it, but this is Vayaseu.
Definitely takes.
Yeah, open it. Shmot. Tela. Open it up. It's in.
No, you don't internalize it because Rashi downplays it right away. Like everybody whitewashes the whole thing. So. Our whole approach to the text is colored by the whitewashing of the Mefarshim, right?
The word whitewashing isn't like the greatest
and
word
maybe
in the world.
Maybe he thought there would be like, oh gosh, this is just like ridiculous. This is just gold. Maybe he didn't think they were really...
Vayomer le'Aaron, parku nizmei hazahav asher basnei nesheichem, b'neichem, b'vanoteichem. Take it off. Vayikach mi'adam, vayatzer oto b'cheret, Vayaasehu egel masecha. Vayamu elohecha Yisrael asher elucha be'eretz Mitzrayim. Vayar Aharon, vayiven mizbeach lufanav, vayikra Aharon vayomar chag la'Hashem machar. How does it sound?
Vayomar what?
He says, Aaron's built an altar and he said, chag la'Hashem machar. It doesn't sound so good.
No.
Right. So therefore, but all the, it could very well be the part of the Midrashim, the will of the Midrash, to see Aaron in this light is because of the later. It can't be. It's so difficult for us to understand. How is it possible that Aaron becomes the Kohen Gadol unless his level of culpability is less than we think? How could it be? He must have been coerced. He must have been forced. He must have been swept up. He must have been trying to push them off. But I'm telling you now, you're not going to have a good answer. You know, you're not going to have an answer that says, oh, this is the reason and this solves the problem. And we're going to see even... that it's not just that we don't have a good answer, Aaron doesn't have a good answer. He is struggling with this. Okay? So Aaron here is like his consecration is at the same time he's being consecrated, this thing is weighing on him. Why me? Do I really belong here? Are they going to accept me? So this is the first indication. Zikne Yisrael, says Rashi. Why the Zikne Yisrael? So nobody should think that Aaron pushed himself forward. He didn't really deserve it. That somehow he used his protectia to get himself in. And Moshe is calling him. Next pasuk, kach lecha egel, says Rashi explicitly. Lehodia shemchaper la hakadosh baruch hu ayidei egel ze, al ma'aseh ha'egel she'asa. Right? And if you thought, Aharon, that this wasn't about the Egel, Moshe says, Aharon, take an Egel. And Aharon looks at him and goes, really? that's what this is all about? And the answer is, yes, that's exactly what this is all about. Okay, so it's explicit, implicit. And you're reading through the Pesukim. Let's read on. Okay, the El Bnei Yisrael to Daber Leimor, and to the Jewish people you should say, Kechu Si'ir Izim L'chatat, you have to take a Si'ir Izim. When else did the Bnei Yisrael bring a Si'ir Izim? When?
Yom Kippur.
V'Egel, you also get an Egel. V'Keves Bnei Shana Temimim Le'ola. And then a Keves Bnei Shana Le'ila, and then a Shalamim, etc., etc., etc. So here also, we're going to turn to, I'm going to look at Kli Yakar if you have it, which I'm only hearing math. Okay, what is the Kli Yakar saying? Well, B'nai Yisrael t'daber le'mor. Ma sh'tziva Moshe la'aron, sh'daber el Yisrael, v'lo tziva hu be'atzmo. He says, remember, and you should say to B'nai Yisrael, why didn't Moshe say to B'nai Yisrael? Is because, l'vishratza Moshe la'aron l'chol Yisrael, she'aron naki min chet ha'egel. Again, Aaron, I want you to talk to them. No, Moshe, you talk to them. No, if I talk to them, they're going to think there's something wrong with you. So therefore, you have to talk to them to say that you were forgiven. To imlo kein, ech yitzavehu lechem lehem, k'chu lechem egel lechapara. How could you say, Aaron say, hey guys, I want you all to take an egel. Rather, hare yomulo tol kore. Tol kore means, you're the cat calling the kettle black here. We should bring an egel. You bring an egel. So the fact that Aaron could tell them they have to bring an egel means that God had already forgiven Aaron. But he had already achieved atonement. Okay? The fikach, we'll skip a little bit. Okay? O yepirusho al derech kshot atzmecha tchila. Or you could say it the other way. Meaning, kshot atzmecha tchila means first take care of yourself. First put on the mask on you and then the mask on your children. Right? The fikach matchila kach lecha egel ben bakar. That's why Moshe says, Aaron, first you yourself take an egel. Lekashet et atzmecha tchila, to adorn yourself first, meaning you achieve your atonement first. Ve'achar kach, v'al b'nei Yisrael tedaber leimor. And then you can only say to the Jewish people, she'it kashtu gam hema. Va'az hema yecholim lekashet achirim. Again, so just in the first three psukim, how many allusions have we seen to the chet ha'egel? At least three. I'll just go over them again. Okay? Zignei Yisrael Rai, so that they should accept it. Next, Kach Lecha Egel, you take an Egel. Ve'el Pnei Yisrael Tedaber, you speak to them. Why you speak to them? The whole process is a process of trying to prop up Aharon. So that they should see him as the conduit for forgiveness and not think of him as the representative of the sin. Can you so?
But if you do it like in an opposite way, I would say it even stronger than that.
From then on, remember, everybody who sins, they have to go to the Kohen and they have to do kapara, they have to do an atonement, they have to samach yado, and when they do smicha in front of the Kohen, it's not just smicha, you have to be mitvadeh. Ana Hashem chatati aviti. It's the idea of confession. It wasn't a private thing. You said it out loud, and when you're doing it before you slaughter the animal, who's sitting in front of you? The Kohen is sitting in front of you. So you can imagine, how could I... It's so embarrassing. It's terrible. And you're not talking about simple things. You're talking about serious sins. You know, I forgot benching. Okay, you know. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I'm talking about serious things. But somehow, if you're standing in front of Aaron HaKohen, the knowledge that he achieved atonement for something worse than you ever did, you know, there's something that's helpful in that. That if he could achieve atonement, then I'm not so far away also. And this korban would help for B. That's what you wanted to say, right?
Yeah, that's what I want to say, and I think it goes even wider, that really, like, all the avot were
we're fallible humans, and also Moshe and also Aaron and all the Nevi'im, and that's part of what we believe. And that they, like, if you look at Christianity, you know, their guy's perfect.
Right.
He's like the perfect being. He has no sin. He is clean. We don't believe in that. We believe that all our guys were sinners as well. They were human.
And Abraham, you know, it's fascinating.
What? Abraham?
All right, we're not going to go there. It depends on... Yeah, Abraham, I mean, all of them.
Abraham,
sure.
What did he do? Mistakes.
Sure. According to Ramban, yeah. Without a doubt. We don't even... Interesting. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah goes... many mafreshim take pains to point out that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. He's a human being and he dies. And that his sins are pointed out in the Torah, and
so
that he's punished for his sins.
Properly.
What?
The way he dies.
Nobody knows when he dies, but the Torah explicitly said that he died. No, there's no question that he lived and died. Right, there's
no
question.
He went on, but it was not a regular death.
By the hand of God. You know what I'm saying? By the kiss of God, whatever you want to say, but he died. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, in our legend, Eliyahu HaNavi never died. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. But it's just, nobody would ever suggest that about Moshe Rabbeinu, because that's dangerous. Anyway, I agree with your point. I would say it even stronger. The idea that Aaron being the conduit for forgiveness, it would then make sense that he shouldn't be forgiven. Meaning someone like Aaron, if he really, really wanted to achieve kapara, what would he ask from God? What would he want? How? That's right. I deserve to die. That would be the ultimate thing, wouldn't it? And in a sense, in not killing him, and not...
That's punishment.
Could be. Correct?
Interesting.
He has to live with his sin.
What? What's that? I never saw that.
The whatever, one of the characters... Lahavdil,
right?
...says he had the right to kill me, and he didn't kill me, but in not killing me, he killed me. And he committed suicide.
Oh, really?
In granting me my life, he killed my spirit and everything I believe in. So... Well,
now. Love. Yeah. I mean, yeah. To have to live with your sin and to have to confront it all of the time. That in and of itself is a punishment, as we'll soon see. And we're not going to do it today. But as you well know, in this week's parsha, his children, Nadav and Avihu, are killed.
I mean, that's...
Right.
The sins of the fathers.
And in a way, he's burdened by B'nai Yisrael's sins.
As opposed
to
what you all think, or what most people think, the sins of the father are visited. Poked avon avot al banim v'al b'nei banim. And whether you want to say it in mystical sense, or in the sense of the father took liberties, or the children took liberties, and you know what I'm saying?
More punishment.
Worse.
That's for sure.
What?
See your children's sins, that would have been easy.
Right.
Right away, you know, instead of losing a son.
Hold on, I got two sons.
And in that way, meaning
right.
One specific son.
One second. Look at Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel. Just Rashi says it. It's not that we're making this up. Hold your place here and look at Yud Gimel. Perik Yud Pasuk Gimel. After they're killed. Perik Yud Pasuk Gimel.
Okay.
Rashi actually alludes to this. It's not even a question. Says Rashi, says the pasuk, "Vayomer Moshe Aaron, Hu Asher Diber Hashem." This is what God had said. Lemor, "Bikrovai Ekadesh." I will be sanctified through those who are close to me. "Valpanei Kol Am Echabed," and I will be sanctified and honored in face of the entire nation. "Vayidom Aaron," and Aaron was silent. Huge pasuk, very famous. There's tons to say about it. Look at Rashi says, "Hu Asher Diber Hichan Diber." When did God say this? Meaning, when was there ever an allusion to the fact that there would be this great sanctification of God's name? Rashi says the answer is, "V'no'adeti shama livnei Yisrael v'nekadesh b'kvodi." I will appear amongst the Jewish people and I will be sanctified b'kvodi, in my honor. Al tikrei b'kvodi. Don't read it b'kvodi, in my kavod. Ela b'mechubadai, among those who are kavod, give me honor. Amar lo Moshe le Aaron, said Moshe to Aaron, "Aaron achi, my brother Aaron, yodeya hayiti shitkadesh habayit b'miyudav shel makom." I knew that this house would be sanctified b'miyudav, miyuad, those who are designated. Ra'iti savor obi obecha. I knew one of us was going to say it was going to get hit. I didn't know if it was me or you. So now I see they're even greater than me or you. Meaning, they knew something was going to happen. Like, you could say that they were drunk, or they did this sin, or that sin, or whatever. Even with the kapara, even with the egel, and even with the atonement, Moshe and Aaron all knew something was going to happen. They knew that it wasn't enough. And the shoe was going to wait to drop. And Moshe said, I didn't know. God had said there was going to be a Krovai HaKadesh. It can't be left. Kacha.
Can I say something that's totally not shot, and I'm not sure that I can fully twist it in, but if you would change the punctuation.
Sure, we're among friends. Why not?
If you would change the punctuation a little bit, you would say, and Moshe said to Aaron, this is what Hashem said would happen. Period. Bikrovaya Kadesh. With my relatives, I will be sanctified.
Ooh.
Moshe is saying, or even Shem Aaron, that we are purified through the deaths of our relatives.
Bikrovai. I mean, no, you don't even have to change the words, because is it God saying?
This is what will happen. Yeah. Period.
Bikrovaya Kadesh. Yeah, you could say. Okay, so meaning, I'm not even making this up. This idea of the Cheder Egel is woven in throughout. Even Ad Gidei Kach, it's not such a stretch to say that it's on Aaron's mind. And Aaron, why is Aaron silent? And then his silence is understandable. Why is he silent? He's silent because he knew it was going to happen. I mean, he's in pain, but he's not surprised.
He doesn't have anything to say.
Yeah.
I mean, looking to...
Right. He doesn't.
It could be the opposite. Meaning he's in such shock, he's left speechless.
Vayidom Aaron is a shirin of itself.
Right.
It's seen as a virtue.
What? Yes. He can't work. Again, that's a shirin of itself. Let's go back. Let's go back for a second. Pasuk Zion. Go back to Pasuk Zion. Okay, I'm sorry, Pasuk Hey. Okay, Vayikru et asher tzivah Moshe b'nei Amorei. We're back to the consecration before this terrible stuff happened. Vayikruvu kol ha'ida, vayamdu lifnei Hashem. Everybody, they took all the sacrifices. Everybody comes close. They stand before God. Vayomer Moshe zeh adar Hashem asher tzivah Hashem ta'asu. This is what you shall do. Ve'yera aleichem kevod Hashem, and the glory of God will appear before you. We're going to do this korban, and it's going to be awesome. Okay, as they're all waiting, by the way, for this glory of God. Remember, after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down a second time. He brings him the Luchot. And what do they spend the next 6 months doing? They spend the next 6 months building the Mishkan. And they built the Mishkan, they built the Mishkan, they built the Mishkan. They finally finish it. They bring it to Moshe. Moshe spends 7 days putting it together, taking it apart, putting it together, taking it apart every day. Then the next 7 days, they offer the Korbanot. They sprinkle the blood. They do all the stuff. But still there's no, it's just man. There is no indication. There's no divine indication that what they've done has been blessed. So God, Moshe says to them, you've been waiting and waiting and waiting. If we do this korban, v'yira alechem kibor Hashem. V'yomer Moshe, pasuk zayin, v'yomer Moshe el Aharon, krav el hamizbeach, v'aseh et chatatcha v'et olatecha, v'chaper ba'adcha u'ba'ad ha'am, v'aseh et korban ha'am, v'chaper ba'adam kasher tziva Hashem. Moshe said to Aharon, approach the altar and do the korbanot, the korban, this sin offering and the whole offering, and offer the kapar for you and for the nation, etc., etc. This pasuk is unbelievably strange. Moshe says to Aaron, go close, go close. What does that obviously indicate? Laura? You don't know? Of course it indicates something.
I'm sure. I don't know what it is.
What does it tell you? It's incredibly strange. Okay? Picture it in your mind.
Anyone?
Go close to the Mizbeach? Right, go offer your korbanot.
You think this is another remez to the...
No, no, I didn't say anything yet. Just tell me physically what happened.
First, I mean, of course you have to go close to the
Mizbeach. Aaron is...
Correct. So what happened?
There you go. This is what Hashem told you to do, and he told you in front of everybody. And now he says, okay, now go do it.
That's what it sounds like. He already said, go do it.
Well, he's giving you the specific instructions. He knows what to do.
It's good. So if,
it's almost like Aaron doesn't want to do it.
Correct. That's exactly what it sounds like.
He's standing there. He's saying, go.
Okay. Kravel HaMizbeach. It's got to be Rashi here. Rashi. That's Rashi. Shehaya Aaron Bosh V'Yarei LaGetchet. Aaron didn't want to go. Amalo Moshe Lamata Bosh. L'Kach Nifcharta. What are you embarrassed about? Go, let's go. Okay? You know, it, look at Ramban and say, Ramban says something even like more fascinating. Okay, look at the Ramban. I'm skipping to the third paragraph. V'tam Davar Zeh. Okay? See where it says Tam Davar Zeh? You have it? And I'll wait till you find it. It's about, I don't know, 10, 15 lines in. M'chach Amar Karab L'Mizbeach B'Zrizut V'tam L'Davar Zeh.
Where
Ramban on Pasuk Zayin. I have it on Zayin Chet.
Oh, okay.
Pasuk Zayin. Here, you have it on Kuf Nun Daled. Go back.
Here.
Tam LeDavar Zeh. Here, you have Tam LeDavar Zeh.
Go ahead.
It's if you look on Pasuk Zayin, it says Krav LaMizbeach.
Yeah.
Okay, not that much far down. Maybe 10 lines after that. It's worth it to see inside. You find it? Let me see. If I can find it for you. Yes. Tom is out. Yes. Tom is in. Next page, Laura. Next page. Five lines down into the Ramban, towards the end of the line.
Yeah.
Okay. Tom Devar Zeh, Ki Ba'avor Shehaya Aron Kadosh Hashem. He was so holy. Ve'en B'nafsho Chet Zulati Ma'aseh Ha'egel. It was weighing him down in his mind. Inyan shne'emar v'chatati negdi kamtamid. This is what the Midrash says. Nidmelo ki'ilu tzurat egel shama akev b'kaparotav. The Midrash says, and Aaron looked at the Mizbeach, what did he see? He saw an egel. All he see was an egel. V'kalakach amru hagez ta'atcha. Hagez, in the Midrash it says, be gas, be strong. Shelo yeshval ruach kol kach. Don't be so humble. Meaning, if you could look at it one of two ways, interestingly enough, Aaron, all he saw, he was such a baal tshuva that all he saw in himself was, he says, I'm not worthy. How in the world is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked me, that I'm supposed to be this person to do these korbanot? Like, I made an egel. How could I do this? And therefore Moshe says, Krav al HaMizbeach. No, you are the person. Don't be so humble. Shekvar ratza Elohim et ma'asav. God wants you to do it. Look at the next words. Interestingly enough, va'achirim mifarshim. Others say, shehaya ha-satan mar Elokin. Is his seeing the egel, is it good tshuva to always see your sin in front of you? Or is it ma'aseh satan? It's a fascinating machloket. It's a machloket in tfisa of tshuva.
Because at some point, your sin brings you down.
Correct. So it all depends on how you see tshuva. Some people see tshuva as a model of you are always a product of the things that you did. And even if you did tshuva, you should never forget where you came from, and that will always remind you of who you are and never sin again. Others say, you can't do that. You have to wipe the slate clean. You are the person who you are because you did tshuva. And if a person is always cognizant, constantly remembering that which he's done, he can't overcome it. He can't move on to something greater. So it's just fascinating. The language of the Ramban, it was kavua lo b'machshavotav. Right? That's the theme of this section. It was just in his head. It was always there. He couldn't get it out of him. This is something that weighed on him. As we'll soon see. We're just going to skip. Let's skip to the end of the section, and I'll show you like one more example. Last example. Skip to Pasuk Kaf Bet.
Well, he knew it wasn't over yet.
Kaf Bet. Vayisa Aaron did all the stuff. He did all the korbanot. He did the fats. He did the blood. He did the blah, blah, blah. Vayisa Aaron yadav el ha'am vayivarchem. He raised his hands. He blessed them. Vayered me'asot ha'chatat v'ha'ula v'ashlamim. Came down off the Mizbeach. from doing all those sacrifices. Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron el Ohel Moed. Aaron and Moshe went into the Ohel Moed. Vayetzu vayivarchu et ha'am. Then they came out and they blessed the nation together again. Vayera kavod Hashem el kol ha'am. And then the glory of God appears. The progression is fascinating. Again, it's worth study. If you look at Rashi, why did he go? He finished. He blessed them. Whatever he said, Berach HaKohanim according to most. He comes down. What happened? He did it. What happened? Nothing happened. He goes back inside. Comes out with Moshe. They bless them. And then, and they're all like, wow. Okay? Look at Rashi. I'm going to skip to the second half of Rashi. On Chaf Gimel. Vayavo Moshe v'Aharon. So Rashi's like, what's going on here? Davar Acher. I'm going to skip to the second answer because that's the one that makes my point. Davar Acher. Kevan shira'a Aharon shekirvu kol ha'korbanot. Aharon, so he brought all the korbanot. V'nasu kol ha'masim. And he did everything he was supposed to do. V'lo yardah shechina l'Yisrael. And nothing happened. Haya mitzta'er v'omer. He was anguished. He was upset, and he said, "Yodeani shagas haKadosh Baruch Hu alai. I know God is mad at me. Ushvili lo yodah shechina l'Yisrael, and I know it's because of me." Amar lo leMoshe, Moshe achi, my brother, kach asitali shenichnastani v'nitbayashtaydi. That's what you did to me. You brought me in. You put me on the altar. You made me do all this stuff just to embarrass me. Miyad nichnas Moshe imo. So Moshe went in with him. Ubikshu rachamav. And what's the answer? What's the answer to the question?
What's the question?
Moshe Aaron's question. This is what you do, just embarrass me? What's the answer?
I'll fix it.
What's the answer? I'll fix it. What's the answer, apparently? What's the answer?
I don't know.
You don't want to say it. I'll say it.
He was not forgiven?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Really?
Not intentionally.
What do you mean intentionally? Bikshu rachamim means?
But I don't think that... Wait,
the Ribono Shel Olam didn't plan for Aaron? Not Moshe. The Ribono... No. The Ribono Shel Olam didn't... Why did God not appear?
Wait, are you saying that he's addressing Moshe?
What? Wasn't Moshe that embarrassed him? No.
He's addressing...
He's addressing Moshe.
Yeah.
Embarrassing someone is like killing him, and he deserves to be killed. Oh. He was embarrassed.
Oh. You want to say that's the reason? Fine. But it was, of course, Moshe didn't plan it this way. In Moshe's brothers, Moshe would have said, Aaron finishes.
Right.
Did that happen?
No.
Aaron goes and says, I told you. And Moshe comes out. And what's the message in the end?
Undermined. Yeah.
It's not enough. Still has to live with it.
Yeah.
Only Moshe can bring the Shekhinah. Until who then brings the second Shekhinah? How does it come? Who brings the Shekhinah? Not Aaron. Who brings the Shekhinah? Not Aaron of you.
Yeah.
And that's not
surprising.
That's not in a good way. A lot of food for thought. We gotta stop.
Yeah.
We'll stop here.